Hello, 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 and welcome to the Drag Race Recap here on Reality TV Wrap Ups. I'm your host, Liana Boris, and we are here to talk about Season 13, Episode 10 of RuPaul's Drag Race US. And of course, we will give our thoughts on the maybe penultimate episode of Drag Race UK Season 2. Down to a top four still, but we're going into the finale, which is such a contrast to what we have going on in the U.S. season right
now. Never-ending season.
The literal never-ending season. But of course, I am not alone. Now, Beth cannot be with us today, but don't worry, she'll be back next week. But of course, we have our fabulous Aman Adwin. Aman, how are you?
Hello, I'm great. And I'm like eating crow this episode because I just went off on a Twitter rant about how boring this season was. And then I like really thoroughly enjoyed this past episode. So I'm trying to be a humble king today.
I feel like this episode really was, I don't know, a breath of fresh air in terms of the challenge. I definitely have some thoughts on the judging element of it, but the challenge itself, oh my gosh, I had so much fun, Aman.
Yeah, we usually see this challenge happen, but they bring back eliminated queens and then they put their looks on those queens. But this definitely makes it a lot more competitive because you have them doing it to each other. So everybody's going to be judged on all of the work that they put forward on the stage. So yeah, I thought that this was a fantastic idea. I thought that it really brought out a lot of their personalities and stuff that we haven't quite seen from them before. And if there was a producer that was hoping that there was going to be some continuation of the feud between Rosé and Tina, well, nope, that shit just brought them closer. So...
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, so I guess, so before I get into like all the specifics, I want to know generally how you felt. This was, of course, the COVID edition of the makeover challenge. And like you said, typically either they'll do eliminated queens or we've seen, you know, they bring in social media influencers, little Frankie Grande up in here, or, you know, sisters, family, mothers, other super fans. What did you think of this specific variation?
Yeah, I liked it because, yeah, just having them all sort of like keep it close knit and tight with the family, I feel like it really helped us see them work. Not only like, you know, because usually when they're doing it to somebody else, it really becomes like they kind of like split their time, right? They they have to worry about doing the challenge and they also have to worry about the comfortability of their partner. But they're all drag queens here. You know what I mean? So now it's just about making sure that I feel like they paid a lot more attention to showing their queen that they were putting themselves on how to really embody themselves and give them examples. And yeah, I thought that it made for so much more interesting and dynamic TV. So I love this variation. I think they should do it again.
I do really like the makeover challenge in general. I feel like this variation versus the, you know, putting someone else in drag, they show different elements of the personality. I feel like, you know, seeing how they interact with an outside person, bring them into their drag family. What do they teach them about themselves? How do they make them feel comfortable? I think all of that is interesting. But that being said, this was fabulous. I felt like we are 10 episodes into RuPaul's Drag Race and I feel like, oh, I finally just got to know some of these queens. I like actually get to know them. And I think part of it is because they're giving their honest opinions of not only their own drag, but other people's drag. And so that in contrast as well made me really feel like, ah, this is what you're all about. This is what you like. This is what you don't like. This is why you do what you do and why you may be critical of others. So I really felt like that just worked so well for me.
I mean, I feel like one of the common practices that we see a lot of the time during the preseason is they always, which is always so funny to me that they choose to do this during the preseason, but there's always a video of the cast when they first get announced and they're like, oh, do an impression of this queen, do an impression of that queen. It's like, well, we don't really know these queens yet, so we're not really in on the joke, but this was, you know, they made that a challenge pretty much for this one. So I really enjoyed that. And I felt like because of the fact that they spend so much time together, because, you know, Drag Race is filmed like what, like over like a month or something, like maybe three weeks, something like that. And so they spend a lot of time together. And so you're going to start picking up on mannerisms. And that, I mean, those definitely came out on that runway. So this is a lot of fun.
And it's like the exaggerated mannerisms of that person. And then also it's fascinating to see what other queens think of each other in terms of the, you know, their drag, especially because I felt like with of course we've heard a little, some critiques on Tina's makeup, but to hear everybody just be like, yeah, no, that mug is not good was hilarious to me. But anyway, okay, let's start getting into the specifics here in this episode. And, you know, after the elimination, we get, I'm happy that the show took the time to talk about Simone's outfit and the message of her look from last week, because we didn't really get a whole lot of that apart from when she actually walked the runway, because she didn't end up getting any critiques. So I thought that was nice that the show dedicated a little bit of time to that.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
And then otherwise, it's just a lot of like setup of plot lines of, you know, Tina, Utica, Olivia. Oh, how are we going to do? Blah, 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 blah. All right, let's go editing. So anyway, next day, mini challenge. Well, I don't even know if I would call it. Did they call it a mini challenge? Because clearly it's not a challenge.
I don't think so.
Okay. I guess our mini activity this week.
Yeah. Mini-tivity.
Our mini-tivity this week was a psychic reading with Char Margolis. What did you think about this, Amon?
I have no idea who this person is, but I quite enjoyed it. I kind of liked the fact that he was the one, because he paired them up, and that was like, you know, it felt like, you know, producer editing, but like veiled producer editing. Yeah. Like, so like, I thought this was, I liked this. I liked this a lot. Yeah.
I was getting a little bit of, oh my gosh, who did the Long Island medium? Fifi, Jeremy, who was I just know what the producers are telling me. And then she got the little card there and is like, it did feel a little bit like that. I mean, come on, Utica with the cow. I was like, I'm sure Utica has talked about her cow at some point during production. But also, look at the lineup of queens. Who's going to be who's going to have a cow of all the queens?
Right. I mean, it's going to be Utica. Pick them out in a lineup. I mean,
exactly.
Right.
And I did like the one moment I also really liked was when she picked at the little crush between Rosé and Denali, which, you know, we had seen their relationship get close, but it, you know, is always painted as like very platonic to me. There's a little crushing going on there. Very cute.
It really feels like they're trying to have a little showmance every season now. Like, they're really starting to encourage that. I hope that, like, I wonder if they're going to literally start casting for that now, because
be like, are you single and ready to mingle?
Yeah. Part of the audition process.
Yeah, the whole psychic part of it for sure with the pairings was definitely just, this is what production wants. And clearly based on the pairings as well, you get Tina and Rosé together. I mean, that's not random.
No, not at all. Like, they really were hyping up this feud in the beginning, and it just fizzled, man. Like, they did not get any mileage out of that at all. Because I feel like Rosé has just been so muted and just like, I'm just here to win challenges and I'm here to take the crown. Like, she has not given these producers any of that drama. She hasn't been in not one single fight this entire time. So, yeah, that flopped. Yeah, but it flopped happily, though. Not in a bad way.
When it always felt like it was coming more from Tina's side with the, what was that? Was it an untucked moment where Tina answered? Oh, yeah. No. It was when they were doing the auditions for the part. And the only reason Tina said Denali was to get in Rosé's head. Right. There's like little moments like that. But otherwise, it's pretty just didn't really end up being much. A little bit of shades of like Coco Alyssa, where it sort of built up to be this whole thing. And then in the end, it doesn't. I mean, you can tell there's tension. Yeah, you can tell there's tension, but it doesn't really seem to matter much. Yeah. But yes, so the big news this week, the makeover challenge, aka the Freaky Friday episode where the queens are paired up by fate. Char Margolis herself is here to pair the different contestants up. We get Tina and Rosé, Denali and Olivia, Utica and Simone, and Gottmik and Candy. Did any of these pairings surprise you, shock you, anything about who was matched with who?
Not really. I think the one that I was kind of the least excited about was Denali and Olivia, because, I mean, Olivia's cute and everything, but she's not really giving me anything like as existentially Olivia. Like, I feel like and we'll talk about it when we start critiquing their looks and everything. But like that mm-hmm. was the only pairing where I was kind of like, eh, whatever. But yes, of course. I mean, when you got somebody like Candy, big girl Candy with Gottmik, like itsy bitsy Gottmik, like, yeah, it's like, how are you going to pull that off? And then of course, Utica and Simone, just completely two different sides of the spectrum. Yeah, the Tina Rose thing wasn't a surprise at all. So yeah, that was the only one that I was kind of like, eh, well, what are they going to give? What are we giving here? So
I felt like the producers were, okay, obviously Tina and Rosé, we have to go together. Oh my gosh, how mm-hmm. wild would it be if we put, you know, Simone and Utica together? How wild would it be if we put Gottmik and Candy? And then uh-huh. they said, ah, so I guess Olivia and Denali are left.
Yeah, they were leftovers. Fine. Yeah, they were definitely leftovers. Definitely.
As much as I love both of them, that was totally how it felt for, you know, multiple reasons. Also, because, you know, there's a fight or there's two different styles. And then it's just like, yeah, two very beautiful, gorgeous queens together. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, the other interesting thing about this challenge was that they actually said the doppelganger lookalike, like, we want your queen to look like you, which I think was important to highlight because it's not your sister, because they're not going to mm-hmm. be going out together, which I wondered how this was going to work when it was brought up last week, where, okay, they're going to walk the runway twice. So would it be, you know, Tina and Rosé together as Tina, then Tina and Rosé together as Rosé? But no, it was just one or the other, which, I mean, I think I'm okay with, but it also could have been fun to see them do the sister twist, although that may have been just, I mean, that's just way too much.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely, the doppelganger thing really just adds an extra element. Because, yeah, when they do the siblings one, they kind of just have to, you know, make them look as similar as possible. But with this, with the doppelganger, it's like, no, we want you to look like them. So the paint has to be there, the clothes mm-hmm. has to be there, and also, like, the mannerisms have to be there. Whereas, like, with the other ones, the siblings can have their own little personality, but just still, all as long as they look like they're part of the family. But this one, it was like, no, be that bitch. Embody mm-hmm. that bitch. And yeah, I think that was an interesting element to add. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's actually a really good point, because I felt I'm, you know, it's all flooding back to me. Oh, like Wintergreen with Peppermint, where Wintergreen was mm-hmm. very much her own character and mm-hmm. brought that to life. Whereas here it was, OK, your goal is to be that bitch. So mm-hmm. good luck with that. Mm-hmm. Okay, I really just want to get into all the pairs. So and we can talk about their teaching each other their walks. We can talk about, you know, how they learned their mannerisms. I think all of that comes together when we talk about each queen. So I'm down to just jump on in that if you are.
Let's do it. I'm down.
Okay, perfect. Let's start out. So we're going to be talking about Rosé and, of course, Tina. So we can be hopping back and forth between the two as we go through this pair. I put on the YouTube version, if you're watching, that's robhasawebsite.com. Or Rob, what is it? YouTube. Rob has a website, YouTube. You can Google. Look it up. Okay. We have the little reference that they put, which I do want to talk about, but the reference of Tina Burner here, for example, for Rosé, and mm-hmm. then Rosé's look, of course, is the main look, and then the reveal as well. So first of all, where did they take these reference pictures? Did they just have them?
I wonder if they like because they get notified, right, like about what they need to bring before the season mm-hmm. starts. So I guess they just had them like, yeah, you're gonna have to, there's gonna be a doppelganger week, pick a look for it, take a picture of yourself in it. That's mm-hmm. what I think probably happened. Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, cool. But that's nice. I guess we get, oh, look, see, this is what, you know, Tina would look like wearing this dress.
This is what it's supposed to look like.
Oh,
well, this dress is definitely Tina, because it is big, girl.
It's so big on Rosé.
The dress is wearing her. I mean, let's be honest. Like those, I mean, she made a comment about it during the judging. She was like, damn, like, even when you take it in, you really have to, like, look out for these linebacker shoulders, and mm-hmm. she surely does, because this dress is looking like it is. When she pulled the reveal off, I was like, oh, I'm sure, like, yes, breathe, girl, because that thing was weighing you down. But Rosé, I mean, she is an actress, she's done musical theater, she knows what mm-hmm. she's doing, and she really, I saw, like, if I didn't have my glasses on, I would think that it was just Tina Burner, because the mm-hmm. movement was there, the face was there, like all of the little mannerisms were there, like from like the minute she walked out all the way until when she walked backstage, like she was fully Tina the entire time.
I completely agree with you, and I think that there's a lot of things to talk about when we dissect this challenge, because we're talking about Rosé's, like, you can talk about Rosé's characterization of Tina, which goes in the, if you're grading the queen, okay, that goes into me, the Rosé column. I don't know if that necessarily goes in the Tina column, because Tina, now Tina technically was the one who taught Tina taught Rosé to tap dance. But like, it is Rosé who's doing the character. You know what I mean?
That has to, that really matters. Like, cause it, that, that's really all up to that person. Yeah. So that, I mean, I think, yeah, like it, if we're like, yeah, if it's like a grading system, like I would feel like 90% of it is Rosé. And then if Rosé pulls it off, great. Then you can say, okay, well then you get that 10% Tina for obviously being a good enough teacher to get that out there. But then again, these bitches have known each other for years. So I feel like this also helps both of them because, you know, like they can build off of each other for so long. So,
and especially because if you do this exaggerative characterization of the other queen, that's beneficial to you. You know, you're not necessarily looking for the subtle things that Tina does on the runway. You're looking for those big boxy kind of moves and shaking and walking. And that's why I think what Rosé does really well here. So I completely agree with you. I think that her characterization is fabulous. And I think Rosé does a good job being Tina Burner.
Yeah.
Now,
the reveal was a lackluster, in my opinion, but that's totally Tina. So,
So now this is this is what I'm talking about, the grading. OK, so Rosé fabulous as Tina. Now let's talk about what Tina did to Rosé, which is to me the beat, the hair, the looks, the reveal, that that's Tina's grading category. Reveal was So if the story to me is like 50s housewife, but she's actually a sex kitten. Is that what we're supposed to be going with the sort of like lingerie bustier underneath?
Exactly. Like princess in the streets, freak in the sheets type deal.
Okay.
Which, I mean, it's fine. I mean, fine. But kind of like, I feel like the color scheme is just so... It's definitely, I mean, we don't see this much green from Tina normally. So I was surprised when she walked out. I was like, wow, this doesn't seem trademark Tina. But like, it's like at the same time, do you want to take points away? Because we do always say that we're done with the McDonald's shit, you know, from her. But then again, it's like, if she's showing variety, then we can't complain when she does.
Not this week. If your goal is to make another bitch your doppelganger, you put
then
her.
You need to be quintessential.
How is she not in yellow, orange, and red? And yes, of course, 100%. Like, we're over it. I every once in a while spread it out. But on the week where she is 100% supposed to be your doppelganger, and you do, she is wearing zero yellow and zero orange. That's a problem. Oh no, there's a little bit of yellow, but yeah, I completely agree with you. It's so much green. This does not scream Tina Burner to me. The only thing that screams Tina Burner is the makeup, which it's quintessential Tina makeup. It is questionable makeup, but it is quintessential Tina Burner. Like when I see that mug, I think Tina. When I see the rest of the outfit, I see, I don't know, generic 50s housewife storyline. Right. I don't get it.
Yeah, you need to really like this was not the week to go with this look. And honestly, I feel like Rosé's performance is really what brought it home for me. And, you know, what she ended up doing with Tina really kept them afloat, because there could have been there definitely could have been room for a conversation. But like, why this week, Tina? And the fact that they're being, you know, judged as pairs, that really just, you know, helped that out a lot. Because if it was individually, then I wouldn't be surprised if Tina were close towards the bottom or in the bottom.
Yeah, we'll get to the judging. I thought Tina was 100% going to be in the bottom until they said it was going to be judged on pairs. Because with the whole characterization, I put that in the Rosé column of Rosé doing well. So to me, this was at 100% great for Rosé and not great for Tina. But let's actually talk about Miss Tina Burner and still, I guess, continue to talk about Rosé, because Rosé had the pleasure of putting Miss Tina Burner in drag.
Yes.
And we, of course, have our little reference shot here of Rosé modeling this outfit. Very Instagram worthy pick. And then, of course, Tina with pretty much exactly the same look on the runway here.
Rosé is a little big. Tina's is a little small, just a little bit. It's a little tight, but she's working it. I don't know about that face though. Like something seems a little, like it's definitely Rosé's makeup. So it's there. But like I feel like there's not enough contour around like her cheekbones. It makes her face look so much rounder than it actually is. And I just remember like thinking, oh my goodness, it looks like her face is photoshopped on when she came across the runway. I was like, yeah, that looks a little, looks a little weird. Like, why does your face look frozen? But yeah, that was my only critique. But as far as the mannerisms go, once again, Tina is also an actress. She knows what she's doing. So that was down to a T. Like, look, like same thing. If I had my glasses off and I had to squint, I'd be like, oh, looks like Rosé grew a couple inches.
The arm, the flicking, the wine thing, she definitely had down. I loved that. I thought that, yeah, Tina did a pretty decent characterization of Rosé. I think that she looks fabulous in the outfit. I loved seeing her eye makeup much more open. I felt like the foundation too felt much more blended and smooth. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I really liked that. I loved her with this giant hair. I thought it was super cute, but I also, look, their face shapes are different.
Right around here. Yeah. I feel like she just didn't acclimate
that
to her
dark
face.
Queens that have, you know, a little bit more, want to create a little bit more of a sharper line there. You have to put that dark contour here and blend down, especially down the neck, because it makes that neck sort of disappear a little bit. Like you said, her face looks so round, and that's because both the jaw and the cheekbone contour is just not.
It's just not there.
It's just not there. I need it to be sharper and darker.
She kind of looks like a thumb with a face on it.
I know. She looks, it's not.
And she doesn't look like that normally. Like she looks great, but.
And you know what? And this was the one moment I was like, oh, okay, yeah, Tina like does know how to at least beat part of her face well, because I think it's really just her eye makeup that needs to soften up and like a little bit more blending, but she can, she can slim herself down and really like soften a lot of those features to make her, you know, look better, because it just looks like half her makeup is missing.
It just looks exactly. It's kind of like unfinished. It's just like
I'm living for the longer
the longer I look at it, the worse it gets. I just, you know, I don't want to drag too hard, but I just, yeah, that was the one thing that I was like, oh, I don't know about this makeup. Something's a little off. What's going on here?
And that's the thing, that you can have a look that is like 95% complete, but if that 5% is missing, it just kind of throws everything off. And that's how I feel about this, that I just needed that little bit extra. But otherwise, everything else I'm living for.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. The characterization, like you said, was there. The look is great. They worked well together. They had a lot of fun together too.
Yeah. And Rosé
has,
Rosé has gone from ruffles to zip ties. Love it. Love it.
Yes.
But no, I mean, clearly you could tell they were having fun at each other's expenses, and that just made it for, and they were willing to throw fun shade at each other. And I just enjoyed, I really enjoyed them being paired together.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Okay, let's talk about Miss Olivia Lux and Denali. So Olivia comes out in this very cloud aesthetic, poofy, long braid, classic Denali look. What did you feel about this, Aman?
I mean, it was definitely, it's Denali, definitely ice princess, you know, puffy kind of princess look. I was missing the skates. And I know that that's a very rough expectation to have on somebody, right? Like, not everybody is an ice skater, but people, I mean, we all roller skated at one point in our life, right?
Yeah.
So I was just kind of hoping that maybe she would have like a little bit of skatey action, but
well, she tried. So this is, if you're watching the video version, this walk right here, since we got our copyright violation with the videos, we're not doing that no more. So we have here, she's trying. This is the skating thing where she's like going with her
illusion.
She's trying to do the illusion. She's like crouching with her knees a little bit and she's trying to push, but it just looked like awkward shuffling around the stage.
Exactly. I wish that she would have just walk. Like, this is not like Denali always comes out and skates, you know, she right. can just, but you know, when we talk about quintessential, you think Denali, you think skates. So it just, it just sort of like seemed a little, I was missing it, but I'm trying to be fair as well, because not everybody does that kind of stuff. But I think the rest of the look is good. I think that like you said, I would not have tried to do the skating thing because I feel like that was just kind of weird. You should have just tried to embody other parts. Like, she loves to swing those ponytails. She loves to play with the ponytails. She comes out very, like, you know, just, like, you know, she glides. So if she would have embodied that, I felt like that would have been just, that would have been enough.
To me, this was definitely the first, and once we go through everyone, maybe it's the only, but the first one where Olivia walked out and I was like, that is 1000% Denali.
Mm-hmm.
The long braid and the outfit together, I just thought, this is Denali. You can't convince me otherwise that this is any other queen. And so I appreciate Denali picking this outfit and the braid. And maybe it's because this is what her entrance looked like. And so it's imprinted in my brain with the hair, because I'm pretty sure it's exactly the same hair with that long blonde braid.
I think it is.
Yeah, it definitely is. Very similar outfit. But that is not a problem for me, because that is the challenge. You're supposed to make a doppelganger. You're supposed to make this queen look just like you. And to me, Denali executed that quite well.
Yeah, I think the makeup definitely, I saw like Denali before I saw Olivia in the face. I do think that there could have been a little better blending, because I noticed like during Untucked, there were moments where I was like, if I feel like Denali, you know, and it's rough whenever you you pair up a darker skinned person with a lighter skinned person and they're not used to having to compensate for that kind of thing. So I get it. But I, at the end of the day, I still feel like she did a really good job, because I did see Denali's face first before I was like, oh, that's Olivia. So,
yeah. So I was so mad at the judging this week. For Denali, one, because I am completely biased and I love her to death, but because when the critique came across about the makeup, I was like, no, because okay, so here look, do these they not look exactly the same?
They look the same. Yeah,
this is Denali painting herself. This is from week episode three. So technically week two for them, right? For this batch, and she looks exactly the same. So I'm sorry. I'm sorry you don't see Denali, because and yes, 100% the blending, especially with the eye makeup, was needed a little bit more time. But otherwise, I love this.
Yeah, she did. You know, she did a good job. It was, well, we'll talk about it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's get into Denali. So this is Olivia doing Denali, and we have Denali coming out in this evening gown with, you know, the sort of, I don't know, this felt like very 50s glam to me.
Yeah, Olivia really gives this kind of thing every week. I'm starting to notice, like, I feel like her repertoire of drag is very gown. Wonderful gowns, beautiful gowns, as the late great Aretha Franklin would say. Yeah, I think that the embodiment of the character was there. She did all of the swirls and the, because you know, Olivia likes to be whimsical and she's in her own fairyland. And I feel like we're in a musical in the 50s and I'm going to sing a song to you. And my pearls. Like, she really gave very much that. In terms of the face, it just looked like Denali to me. I didn't really see any. I didn't get Olivia here. And maybe that's because maybe Olivia doesn't have a signature painting style.
The brows. She's got these like really big dramatic brows that she does. And I didn't see that at all here. Like they're really big up dark. That to me is the one thing, because I was trying to think, I was like, okay, what do I think of when I think of Olivia? I think of her face shape, which obviously you can try to contour that on. So maybe I would have taken the jawline in a little bit more, but it's the big eyes. She creates this really open eye space. And, you know, yeah, I saw Denali with like a slightly different beat.
Yeah, like I feel like if we had just like took a picture of all of these queens and laid them all out and without any characterization, without any movement, that just their faces in their outfits, I would have had to like eliminate a few others first before realizing that that was Olivia.
Right.
Like I would have had to find that out by process of elimination, because it just doesn't. It's just not. There's nothing iconic besides the characterization and I guess the outfit. You know what I mean? There's nothing else like that's giving me Olivia Lux. And so then I'll, yeah, Olivia should have went home.
Olivia should have gone home. Yeah.
Olivia should have went home.
So I'm looking at some of Olivia's previous looks, and it's the big brows, and then her makeup goes up instead of out more, which she really took Denali's eyes out, not up, which I think also makes just changes the face shape.
Yeah, I wasn't bothered by the wig. I felt like that's a wig that Olivia would wear. They were very critical of the wig, and I was like, really? I think the face is more where you need to be, you know, throwing salt. But
I felt like it should have been bigger.
I guess that's true. Yeah,
I mean,
she is very opulent.
Opulence. She owns everything. I think it's just because when I think of Olivia, I do think of like the big hair. Oof. That's the first thing comes to mind. Not that she's not capable. I mean, I'm looking at her looks right now. She has wigs that look like this. So it's not out of the ordinary that she would wear something along these lines. She actually doesn't have a lot of evening gowns now that I'm looking at it. But when I think of Olivia, I think evening gown. But yeah, she's really only worn like one or two.
That was like her main entrance look. And then she had like the one that during the yellow week, that was her thing, and now she's doing it again here. Like, she just loves a gown.
She loves a gown. Right, so that's probably why. But I felt like if the goal was doppelganger, I think that this really missed the mark for me. From Olivia. All right, well, let's talk about Simone and Utica. Oh my gosh.
Yes. They tried to fake this out with that edit. I wasn't falling for that shit. I wasn't falling for it. They made it look like they were not going to communicate well. Here comes Utica again with, look, I love that Utica is in a place where she is trying to be as respectful as possible. I love that she is self-aware. I love that she is conscious about, you know, racial things and trying to make sure that she's being as respectful as possible. I get it, but girl, do not get in your own way. Like, you are not, you're not being a caricature of black people. You are being Simone, black person. That's a little different than the other stuff that you see people getting offended by. Like, we're not asking you to go out there and be like, do all that like stereotypical shit. We're not asking for that. We're just asking for you to be Simone, and Simone is black. Just don't put on blackface. That's it.
But Simone will do your makeup. Okay. Simone is granting you permission to enter the space with love. Right. So it's okay. I can understand where Utica's coming from and sort of this, I'm terrified
especially
of being canceled
right now. Yeah.
Yes. Exactly. And I mean, think about when they filmed this, right? This is right after Black Lives Matter and all the protests and everything like that. So the culture in the moment, especially, was very charged.
It was like the height of it, right? Because they did this in the summer. Yeah. So they were like right in the middle of that. So yeah, I get it. But at the same time, I kind of had like a bit of an issue with what RuPaul said, though, because he kind of like, and there could have been a larger conversation that we just didn't see and it was kind of edited down. But yeah, she was so worried about it that she, you know, her and Simone had to have a conversation with Rue and asking him what he thought. And Rue was like, well, as long as you're coming from a place of love, then it don't matter. I'm like, I wouldn't say that, because there are people watching, and that's not always for this situation. Yes. I wish that he would have sort of like said what I just said and been like, you're being Simone. You're not being black people. That's like when people try to boil out all of like the nuance in black people and blackness and try to put on this really, really stereotypical caricature, that's the shit that's disrespectful. But when you're trying to be a specific person, as long as you don't have blackface on, it's fine. You know what I mean? So.
And I mean, to say, you're coming at it with love. You can say you're coming at it with love and still do something offensive.
Exactly. So now this freaking Halloween, everybody's going to be doing all sorts of shit. And we're like, it's love. It's love. Like, see, love. And I'm going to blame RuPaul.
Which, like, of course, everybody can make a mistake, but then you have to be like, no, this is not it. This is, we're not here with this. So that being said, you know, I'm really happy that both of them were able to work together and get over these differences, because, oh my gosh, did they turn into each other's doppelganger? Wow.
Yes. It was so, I didn't quite know what was happening with the brown skin garment at first, because we didn't see the muscular skeletal type deal before. And I was like, wait, so is she just going to be walking out in this bag? Like, where else is this? Oh, like, oh my God, they're going to go home because this look is trash. But then when she came across the corner, And she really worked it too. Like, she really, it was Utica, like all of these weird angles. And I think that Utica did such a good job. This is where being so cerebral really helped out, because I don't necessarily know if I would have been able to understand exactly how to be Utica without her explaining it. But when she talked about, I really like to imagine myself as the, what's that painting called? The Da Vinci Man, the Da Vinci, whatever the hell it is.
Yep.
And she's like, yeah, I like to play with the angles. I said, what if I do this? What if I do this? And just make shapes. I was like, okay, that's something that I can glom onto. I understand that. And I think that Simone really used that to embody that, because I felt it. I felt it. Even in the face, I felt it. I was worried that Simone, because Simone, you know, she likes to slip into that character a lot of doing that little face that she makes, but she didn't do it. She was gliding all the way through. I loved it.
I mean, she was Utica here, as far as I could tell. I love the idea of Utica saying, my brand is this walking piece of art. And so I'm going to put you in something that very much represents that. And so you have this really gorgeous headpiece, and then with the skin, with the muscles, bodysuit underneath. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's so cool. That's so creative. And then for Simone to just fully realize the character of Utica, I thought it was all around a slam dunk. The one teeny tiny, tiny nitpicky critique is the painting. There's these white lines, are on Simone. The ones around the eyes look okay. I think they need to be blended maybe a little bit more, but the ones around the lip just make her look like she's got a milk mustache. Could be the goal here, but I think on Utica, like with the comparison picture, because of Utica's skin tone being lighter, it doesn't look as dramatic, whereas on Simone, it's in contrast to her darker skin color, looks very like that. Did you drink a glass of milk?
Definitely be the Gottmik was here in spirit.
Right, exactly. Just a little kiss from Gottmik and get some of that clown white on your lips. But very, very impressed with.
And I love the poetry of like how she was so scared of being disrespectful to Black people, and her whole look was sort of like embodying sort of like being trapped in your own skin. I just felt like that was like poetry, that you are literally having, you're putting Simone into this look, and then you're actually having to come out of that look, come out of your own skin to be Simone. I thought that was
that's so cool. I actually didn't even think of that, but I really love that element to it. The shoes also, like, they're covered with the bodysuit, so it's just the whole thing is seamless, flawless. I love this. Okay, well, let's talk about Simone's pair, Utica, and oh my gosh. These two queens together, genius.
She did it. She did it. I was worried. I was like, I don't know if she's gonna be too in her head. But she did it. I think that the look looks a little small for her. She's a little taller than Simone is. So she definitely fills it out more. But the walk, the swagger, it was all that. The one thing that I really wanted was that smirk. She always has that little, she does this a lot with her face. And I just didn't get any of that from Utica. That was the one thing. If she had done that, I would have been like, I would have just like thrown under the roses. Like, I would, like, if we had to choose a winner between these two, I would have been like, Utica wins hands down because she got Simone. You know what I mean? But other than that, I thought that when she walked around that corner with that swagger on, I was like, yes! I literally was inaudible. I was like cheering. I was like, yes, Utica, you better do it. Do it.
And it's such a stark contrast to how Utica walks with her weird, lanky, open mouth expression. To contain that and to do this, the way that she presented it with the look, fabulous, like Simone put her in the perfect outfit. I just was amazed. I loved it. This is not Utica. It felt like a completely different queen to me, which, wow, that's amazing. And I think it just goes to show that you take the same human being, you'd say, okay, look, this is your characterization today. This is who you're embodying, and this is your outfit. And it's like a completely different person. It was amazing. I was amazed.
Yeah, she really understood the assignment. Like, she killed it. Like, I was shocked because sometimes they can come across the and come down the aisle, and you can still kind of see their own personal things added in. But like, I really didn't see Utica at all. I just saw Simone. If she had done that smirk, man, that would have been like 10 out of 10.
Oh my gosh, amazing. All right, let's talk about our last pair here. And that is, of course, Gottmik and Candy Muse. So one of the sort of big setups before we actually get to the runway is the fact that they are obviously very different sizes and body shapes. And so it was said that they were going to have to make brand new outfits. So Aman, explain to me how they had this picture of Candy in the bodysuit that looks exactly the same as what Gottmik is wearing, just without like the arms, and like the legs, without the legs. It even has the arms, just not the gloves. Is this different? Did she paint? Like, I'm so confused here.
I'm confused too. Did she, like, they just cut off the legs and then take it in? Like, are there a bunch of like safety pins in the back that we can't see being hidden by the jacket? Because she doesn't have the Candy doesn't have the jacket. That seems,
I mean,
added.
if it's stretchy, I wonder if the body fit? I don't know, because clearly,
but even if it's stretchy, like, this is, that's, I mean, this, like, no, like, this is, like, snatched on her. Like, this has to be a different size. I don't know.
I don't know, because that was the whole setup for them was, oh, we're going to have to sew new garments. Talk to RuPaul. We're going to have to sew new garments. On the runway, we had very different challenges because, you know, we're like very different body shapes. And then she's wearing something that I think Candy has worn, because also the hat matches, the jacket matches. I'm just, I mean, look, fine. Okay, fine. Let me get over that. It was like my own mental hiccup of just massive confusion.
No, but I mean, it definitely goes to, you know, it leaves room for argument for what Candy had to say on the runway later on. So, like, if this was what you put her in, did you really have to do much to be hooting and hollering like you were on the stage?
Right. Because if it is the outfit you already had, you just had to cut the legs off or something, you know. Okay. It's not that hard. Like, it's a bodysuit. Yeah. And then you throw on a jacket and some glasses. So. But that being said, okay, does this scream Candy Muse to you?
No, it does not.
Yeah.
It does not. It does not. It does not. Even the characterization, like,
it was her Russian. It was that Russian.
Yes.
The fembot or whatever from the musical. That was who I thought she was being again.
Yes. It didn't, like, Candy doesn't. Yeah, Candy does have like a bit of a, you know, a rough, tough kind of vibe to her. Like, she'll be down to throw down if she needs. I mean, clearly we saw it on the runway later on. So
yeah,
clearly it's there. But she doesn't normally just walk down the runway being like, you want to fight? What? Bronx, bitch. Like, she doesn't do that. Like, that was too much. Like, if you had just added the subtleties of that, then we would have gotten it. But I think, you know what? I think this was like another one of her snatch game moments. Really? She just like kind of went over the top and it made Rue laugh. And there you go. Ding, 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 ding. You're going to be safe. So, but no, this look is not Candy to me. Candy. And then I'm starting to think, like, what is a look that would scream Candy to me?
So for me, I felt, and I was thinking, like, well, the over-exaggeration is, you know, where the humor comes from and where it's so, you know, so over the top. But it still didn't, it was over the top so much that it really just didn't even feel like Candy anymore. It did feel like that, the Russian, the hacker character from the musical. Like, that was all I got here. And for me, Candy has the bralette with sort of the short skirt. That's what I think of when I think of Candy. Maybe that's because her entrance look looks somewhat similar. We've seen a few looks from her that have had that same bralette piece with the either skirt or like panty set. And that's what I think of immediately. Now, that's where maybe their different sizes came into play of, well, there's nothing we can do that's going to fit this. This is literally our only option. Yes, Candy would wear it. So technically it is a Candy Muse look, but it doesn't scream quintessential Candy Muse.
Right. Yeah. It's not giving me. Yeah. It's not. Like, this is another look that I would probably have to do by elimination. Like, how? Like, so who? Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about Candy Muse. So Gottmik putting Candy Muse in drag. This So this look, for sure, the nipples especially, I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, yes, got Mick. Okay, yes. Gotcha.
Yes, definitely. Definitely a got Mick look, a got Mick face. The character, I think that Candy was a better got Mick than got Mick was a Candy. Mm-hmm. So I definitely got all of that there, even down to the walk. She got the walk down as well. Mm-hmm. So them, you know, being friends really helps them out here. But that being said, the look does not look that great on Candy. I feel like now I definitely feel like Gottmik had to do more work than Candy did, because this looks like something that Candy did make for herself, and she mm-hmm. had to make some alterations so that Candy it looks like something that Gottmik did make and then had to alter it for Candy. So definitely there's work there. And maybe that was the work that Candy was talking about.
Mm. Yeah, that's possible.
But with that being said, it's just not, the proportions aren't right for me. Like, it's just, Candy is taller and she's wider. So this, I feel like the outfit had to be taller as well and wider mm-hmm. as well, because it just kind of looks like a big blob on her. Like, you don't really see where the corset structure ends and where the poof begins. It kind of all just blends together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree with you. Okay, so while I see, when I first see this, I do see Gottmik, then you start to look a little bit more at the details and all those things that you mentioned popped out, because the nipples are supposed to be in those little cutouts. But because mm-hmm. Candy is so tall, the nipples are way above the cutouts.
Yeah.
The yep. sides just don't look right. There's so much more open space because she's taller. There's like this big old gap between where the corset is supposed to stop on her chest and where those ruffles around her neck yep. begin. And so that just makes the whole thing. It does look like she is wearing an outfit that is too small for her. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm happy they were able to make it fit and make it work for her. But clearly you can see, you know, this is where the size difference just comes into play.
Yeah. So this really was like a big mega challenge then. Like, you, it's an acting challenge. It's yeah. also a sewing challenge. It's a makeup challenge. Like, it's just everything.
All of the things. Yeah, exactly. I love the makeover challenge. The other thing, too, is when these skinny little bitches have mm-hmm. to paint a different face shape, they do not contour the chin mm-hmm. and the neck down like they need to. I feel so bad for Candy here, because she is usually able to much better define her jaw. And here mm-hmm. it's just there's a little bit of paint missing from that. Yeah. I do almost wonder if she had, I wonder if she had done the whole face Wyatt, how that would have looked. Maybe mm-hmm. she just didn't have time, right? That's a lot to do, but I don't know.
It doesn't
that would
help
have been
the
last the thing.
Ruffles being like directly under her chin. It just looks like a big, like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's just, it's not, yeah.
Yeah, it's not, look. I am impressed with what Gottmik was able to do, given the fact that they did have, you know, the differences in their body shape. So I think mm-hmm. that is impressive. I do wonder, though, if Gottmik had thought about, look, there's going to be a makeover challenge at some point. When you yeah. are getting ready for a makeover challenge, you have to be prepared to deal with any type of body shape. That's why a lot of queens bring stretchy fabrics, caftans, muumuus, things that are going to be easily transferable to larger or smaller body types that can be easily mm-hmm. taken in and out. And so I wonder if Gottmik had prepared, like, if this is what she was planning on doing, or if there was a different option or what, because this is such a structured look, and to mm-hmm. alter that, I think, is quite difficult.
Yeah, I really think that Candy saved them with her little tiff on the runway, because she was like, no. What we're not about to do is criticize, send me home, essentially, because of the fact that I'm a big girl. I feel like that's mm-hmm. kind of where she was coming from. It was like, we had to do so much more than all of you did, and it's not fair that I'm going to be sent home because of the fact that I'm big. Like, I didn't mm-hmm. dress myself. She dressed yeah. me, and she did the best that she could do. And I right. feel like at that point it was like, well, damn, now we can't send her ass home. So
I mean, to
I
me,
think
this was
what she had to do.
Right. Exactly. And this wasn't the worst for me either.
Yeah,
so
exactly,
as,
exactly.
Even though we can sort of make these critiques, I see Gottmik. So mm-hmm. therefore, to me, that at least fulfills the baseline requirements of the challenge. I think mm-hmm. it also brings up this discussion of, which we've talked about before, of if you take this size zero queen, you put them in fashion, and then you take a non-size zero queen, you put them in the same fashion, is that going to translate as well? Which mm-hmm. I wonder if this outfit had fit her, like had been made for her size, I would love to see what that looks like.
What that looks because, like, yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. because this, no, I would say, of course, Gottmik looks better, but it's an outfit that was made for Gottmik, not for Candy. So if you have one that actually fits Candy, I think this could be fashion. I don't know.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, like, I feel like I had this conversation with you guys way back when Mike and Brent were still here. And I was like, yeah, like, I get really touchy because I don't know how to critique some of these queens that are bigger because are the fashion designers really making this stuff for them? Like, right. it's no surprise as to why they usually wear the same kinds of garments, because those are the ones that are made for them because they are more form-fitting or whatever. So yeah, I agree. I would have liked to see what a real alteration of this look looks like for Candy.
Maybe in the off season. Get on it. Get on it. All right. So that is all of the lurks. So now we can get into the judging and ultimately the results here, because they were judged in pairs. Was this fair? Would you have liked it to not be judged in pairs? Thoughts?
I think that it had to be individual. I don't really see the point in judging them in pairs. Like, what is that really? What does that add to the competition? You know what I mean? It's like, they should already have the incentive to do well in challenge by virtue of going up for elimination. So putting them in pairs and judging them in pairs doesn't really seem fair. And it seems like, yeah, it kind of gives other teams a way to sort of like skate away out of the bottom, mm-hmm. literally, because
or not.
Or not literally, yeah. So, yeah, I thought that that was silly. It kind of seemed like they were trying to send someone home here. That's what it kind of felt like to me.
Yeah, I was immediately upset when they said that this was going to be judged in pairs. I get it, because there's synergy with the two queens of, well, you dress me, I dress you. How well do we work together? This mm-hmm. is not a team challenge.
No,
this is not a team. It is not a scene partner that you're acting with, that you're trying to get the best out of both of them. And even then you can make the argument of like, nothing should ever really be judged as a team.
Yep.
Unless it's like a big challenge, because if one queen does well and one queen does not do well, you are immediately putting the other queen at a disadvantage, because that's just it's just not fair. It 100% felt like they had an objective to send someone home, because I thought here, I was like, Olivia's going to be in the bottom and Tina Burner is going to be in the bottom. That is who I thought should be there based on what they did. Because when mm-hmm. I look at Olivia, I see Denali. Is that not the objective of the challenge? When mm-hmm. I look at Rosé, as long as I put a little thumb over her face, I have no idea who this person is. I genuinely have no idea. The makeup mm-hmm. helps, but it just, oh, and then to see Denali in Untucked just being like, well, F this. I felt yeah. her pain.
She knew that she was going to go, and she felt like she was, at this point, she was so, she was pissed, and she felt like she had to say Candy because the proportions weren't there. But she really should have just said Olivia. I would have had, because I mean, yeah, even if you end up in the bottom with her, just try to mm-hmm. beat her in the lip sync. Like, I feel like I would have had more respect for her if she had said that. I understand why, because she doesn't want to end up in the bottom herself. But like, right. I feel like do essentially what Candy just did. Candy just got herself out of that bottom because she fought for herself right then and there. If you did the same thing where it's like, look, Mama Ru, if I'm being completely honest, I don't look like Olivia. Olivia failed this challenge. She deserves to go home. I will send her home in a lip sync.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
game move. Boom.
Like, everybody just like loses their minds. And if she delivers in the lip sync, have her fucking stay. You know what I mean? So right. I would have much rather seen that kind of thing happen. But I mean, she was under so much pressure. She was like, she was feeling kind of defeated. She was like, well, if I'm in the bottom with Olivia, she's probably going to stay by virtue of having two challenge wins over mine. Because she has, does she even have one yet?
She had the one from the second, like the bottom queens. She won their week.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So I fell for her. I don't think that she deserved to be out. I
don't either.
It's a total Jan edit. It really is.
I know. It was, again, so funny that, oh, Rosé is going to get the Jana. No, that's for someone else. And it's Denali, her love interest, I guess, whatever they want to call it. I was someone who connected with Denali in the preseason. She was someone who I really just enjoyed.
I mean, we all had her high. I think I had like her number two.
We
oh my God, that was like 3 months ago. Oh my God.
That was like, we did our preview podcast in December. Yeah. Oh yeah. And we're down to what? Like seven queens?
Guys, it is March 14th. It is March 14th and there are still seven queens here. It's about to be April and we are still watching Drag Race.
It will never end. Literally, it will never end. Yeah, Aman, you had her as two. You loved her.
I loved Dolly. I loved Dolly in the preseason. And then the edit was just not, there for her. So and we should have saw this coming because, I mean, it's like, you know, it's usually like when if you don't have like a real storyline, if your storyline is, oh my God, I don't have any wins, then you're not going to win the competition because then it's just about when you're going to go home. That's all. It's the sugarcane thing. It's the Jan thing. It's just not a good storyline to have. It's just not.
I don't know why she didn't connect with the judges. I don't know what it was. I felt like her fashion also didn't get praised. I felt like all her runway looks, you know, maybe a couple of them, yeah, just safe. But a lot of them, the chandelier look, for example, absolutely gorge. So I'm disappointed with the way that this ultimately went. I don't know. I think it's tough because Olivia was someone else who really popped for me in the preseason. And so to have the two of them go up against each other, I had a personally, I vibe more with the nature aesthetic of Denali. I don't know. And then Olivia's obviously had a lot of challenge wins. So clearly either she's connecting with the judges or like something's going well for her because she's succeeding. But I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like Tina Burner has really enlightened and disillusioned a lot of people about Olivia with this like secret diva thing because I'm starting to see it too. And like, I was like, I would not mind seeing Olivia go. Like, she won two challenges, but girl, go home. Like, you failed today. You failed. And that's okay. You know what I mean? It doesn't mean you're a bad drag queen. It just means that you failed at this challenge and you can go. So yeah, I think this was a total robbery. Denali should still be in the competition, even if she was just going to go the week next. I think the other thing is, like, it's really souring me on Candy as well because, like, yeah, I love Candy Muse. I think that she's probably, like, the most dynamic person that we have on the show this season. I love her, but it kind of does leave, like, a bad taste in your mouth when she gets saved and then Denali goes home. It's like, really?
I don't know how Tina's still here. I'm sorry.
Yeah, she's another one. Yeah.
I thought it was going to be Olivia and Tina in the bottom. Well, so when I thought it was going to be judged individually, I thought it was going to be Olivia and Tina in the bottom. Then when I realized that it was a team judging, I thought maybe, just maybe, it was more hoping than I actually thought was going to happen. But Rosé and Tina were going to end up in the bottom with Rosé specifically there to send Tina home. That's what I was secretly hoping for because Rosé says, oh, yeah, you know, Tina's fashion is fun, expressive. I don't like a lot of it. Michelle says Tina's aesthetic is questionable.
There was definitely grounds. There was grounds for elimination here.
Exactly. But look, I get it. I think the top queens that I think are going to make the final four are Simone for sure. Rosé for sure.
Because what is this? Like four wins now for Simone?
Yeah. This is, is it a third win or fourth win? She won, let me look it up. Drag Race season 13. So to finish out, I think it's going to be Gottmik, Rosé, Simone, and probably Candy. That's my guess. Yeah, this is her third win.
Third win. Okay.
Her third win.
Yeah, she's definitely making it to the end.
Yeah, I think she's making it to the end. I think Gottmik is making it to the end. Gottmik has two wins.
And Gottmik is really impressing me. Like, I love Simone, but I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't mind Gottmik winning either. Like, I feel like those two are really a good representation of this season. So, I mean, I'm still rooting for them, but it is becoming a bit of a march to the end, especially if you're just going to keep Olivia over this. Like, all right.
Yes.
All right. Let's wrap it up.
To me, to me, I see Gottmik as I really like her. I've really grown to appreciate what she's been able to do. I think I was a little thrown off from the first lip sync performance where it was just Me too. If we do a lip sync for the crown, you know, I don't know how well that's going to go for her, but I think that the representation, especially of trans contestants on the show, has not been so great. And so for her to come out and be the first winner would be really iconic. That being said, Simone's drag to me is she screams superstar.
She's the it girl. Ugh. I mean, she's got Rihanna in her DMs. Like whenever Rihanna slides into your DMs, I mean, that's it. Like, you know, you got the sauce. So,
yeah. To me, it's between the two of them. Rosé is such a seasoned professional that I can appreciate what she does, but there's a little bit of I would want to be her best friend. I want to hang out with her. I want to go to all her drag shows. But if I want someone to represent, which the winner represents the season, I want it to be Simone. Maybe Gottmik, but I want it to be Simone.
I feel like Rosé is just sort of like lack. I don't want to say she's uncharismatic. She definitely has some charisma, but there is like a certain star quality that I feel like is missing. You know what I mean? It's kind of like what I was getting at before when I said that her and Tina were just like, that was never going to be a thing. I just feel like she's just not giving. I feel like she just hasn't, I don't know, like maybe she's tired. I don't know what she's like in New York. I don't know. It's kind of like Dua Lipa, how so many people were so on Dua Lipa during her first album because she has such great songs, but she gets on stage and she's just like, like she gives you nothing. And then now all of a sudden this second album comes out and now she's giving us music videos and she's giving you Pop Girl. She's giving you, she's giving you the fantasy. And we're like, yes, Dua, this is what we wanted. And I feel like Rosé hasn't gotten to that second album yet. She's sort of just still in her debut album phase, just kind of like just, you know, dipping her toe in the water. Like, give us more. Give me something
true. I love that analogy. That's so perfect. Okay, well, I got a little distracted there talking about my overall thoughts. But the lip sync here, so obviously, as we talked about, Olivia and Denali end up in the bottom two. We get Shackles, Praise You by Mary Mary for the lip sync song. Do you think, based solely on the lip sync, do you think the right queen went home?
It was sort of like middling to me. Like, they both sort of did a good job. So I feel like I would have probably just sent Olivia home, to be honest. Like, I felt like for Olivia to like save herself and prove that she deserves to still be here, I feel like that wasn't the lip sync to do that. So yeah, I probably would have just saved Denali, to be honest.
This is where the what's the Alaska quote? You know, what's the grading? Is it runway times challenge divided by runway times two? I think for me, like you said, the lip sync is a chance to save yourself, and I don't think that Olivia outperformed Denali to the level that she earned her place to stay. Denali did a serviceable job. Olivia did a serviceable job. Olivia is in a lip sync outfit that's a little bit easier to move and groove in. Whereas,
kind of pissed me off. It was like,
oh my God, could you imagine? Okay, next level strategy. Put your partner in an outfit that is very restrictive and she can't move in, because if you have to lip sync against her, then you've handicapped your girl. Okay, if any queens are listening next season, listen, we gotcha. But yeah, so unfortunately, Denali gets eliminated here, and I think gone too soon. I don't think she was going to make the finale, but to me, I would have liked to have seen a little bit more Denali.
Yeah, me too.
All right, Untucked, we can touch on a few things. I don't know if there's anything why. I love the fact that they gave the explanation, or Denali was allowed to give the explanation of why she said what she said. Look, this was my political move. I didn't mean anything by it. But otherwise,
I was really expecting fireworks. But then I was like, okay, they're all really sad about the situation. Let me not try and throw oil on the fight.
Candy was ready though. Candy was about to start a fight.
She was ready. She was like, look, let's talk about this. Like, why did you guys say that? And then, you know, they were able to say their piece, and I was like, all right. Like, they're you know, they're clearly all in their feelings right now. So I'm glad that they were able to talk it out.
I mean, yeah, that was the thing. It was like, once we got the explanation, sort of that fight mentality got dropped a little bit. But
I'm glad that Candy did that, to be honest. I'm glad that she really spoke her mind there, because we do so many times in the season, we do get this question. And then sometimes it's a flop ass question because everybody just gangs up on one person.
Mm-hmm.
And Candy was like, no, we're not going to do this. No, this is not going to be this little prissy little political thing here. This mm-hmm. is what happened. Y'all look a mess. Go home. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that someone was like straight to the point.
She said, go home. The lady said,
the lady
go home.
Said, go
yeah.
home.
We, I forgot to go over it, but essentially, so Rosé, Tina, Simone, Utica, Gottmik, and Candy all said Olivia. I mean, Candy said Olivia and Denali as a pair. The only people that didn't say Olivia were obviously Denali, who said Candy, and then Olivia, who said Utica, which I don't think anything really came of her saying Utica. But,
yeah, I was like, why that? What did, where did that?
Yeah, that made no sense. I think it's because Olivia was saying in the out of oh, all the of what we've done so far in this Utica. Season, I would send Utica home, which I get the logic, yeah. But that's
but
not
right
the assignment.
Now, like she clearly had a win right now. So it was like, right. You would send her home now.
And you're doing yourself no favors when you're the one who just got said twice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not a good choice. But anyway, anything else from Untucked?
Yeah, that was about it for me.
Yeah, a little bit. All right, so next week we are going to have the branding challenge, create your own soft drink. So we're back with seven queens, and we will see which one can put themselves in a can of soda and make it pop. Okay, let's talk about UK, because UK started after the US season and is ready at the finale. We thought we were going down to a final three, but no. Miss RuPaul says no. We get a double save, official double save. She didn't tell Ellie Diamond to sashay away. What did you think about that decision?
I thought it was fine. I mean, we're kind of like accustomed to a final four nowadays anyway, so I was like, I kind of expected it, and they both did pretty well in the lip sync to me. I mean, if you really wanted to eliminate someone, I would have eliminated Ellie Diamond, because I feel like Taste sort of like, although, so what, explain something to me. Explain, what is Panto, what is it called? Panto Dane? Panto?
Oh, yes, the runway look. So, let's do a little education. So it's like pantomime, right?
Pantomime dame is a traditional role in British pantomime and is part of the theatrical tradition of travesty portrayal of female characters by male actors in drag. Dame characters
are
often played either in an extremely camp role or else by men acting butch in women's clothing. So is it about mannerisms so much more than it is about the looks? Because they were getting on Taste for not really being quite pantomime-esque.
I guess, in the makeup,
it wasn't there, definitely.
So, I mean, I'm looking at the examples, and her outfit was definitely not what the top Google search results give you.
Yeah, it gives you Vegas girl.
Mm-hmm. More so. Fairy Vegas girl, kind of. The makeup, I think, was supposed to, but she didn't. I don't think she had the right cheeks because they've got the like big sort of clownish rosy cheeks.
Yeah.
And especially compared to the others, the other three looks looked very similar. Clearly, Taste was the outlier here.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And I do feel a little bit with the judging. So they did the Maxi Challenge this week was an acting challenge for the EastEnders parody of BeastEnders. Mm-hmm. And it was so funny to hear the judges be like, yeah, we thought Taste would suck at this, but she did fine. And like, okay, wow. Way to have like crappy expectations for a queen.
Great.
You
great
love to
know.
I mean, that's what they say. Isn't low expectations the key to happiness? So maybe that was Tace's whole MO. But we get Bimini with her. Is this her fourth win?
I think
that's
so.
Her fourth
yeah, right?
Win.
Yeah,
that's wild.
Yep.
That's wild to me. So, and Bimini has now overtaken Lawrence Cheney, with four
Lawrence
wins.
Lawrence Cheney
is, of course, safe. And then we get Taste and Ellie Diamond lip syncing against one another, but both of them end up staying here. I think for me, the ultimate decision to have them both stay, fine, but is Ellie Diamond going to win? is taste going to win? I almost feel like because you have two front runners in Lawrence Chaney and Bimini Bamboulash, I kind of feel like they kept Ellie as almost a, it's okay, Taste, look, or there's someone else here for you to hang out with. Because I can't convince myself in any universe that Taste is going to win, or Ellie Diamond for that matter.
It definitely has that kind of like, okay, we just, let's throw them in, keep them in the mix to keep it mixy, you know?
Give her a friend.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, that's just, that's the kind of the axe that you kind of have to grind when you have such, you know, power horses throughout the competition that, you know, you get to the end and it's like, it's kind of the same thing that we're dealing with UK, with the US. But, I mean, fine. You know what? Maybe there could be an upset. I mean, we've seen plenty of upsets throughout this season. So who knows? Who knows? Like, this could have been, because everybody loves this season. This could be a great season. And then the winner just comes out of nowhere and, like, somebody, like, Taste ends up winning. And they're like, what the hell? Like, I'm not going to put it past them.
I mean, I love Taste. So I'm, like, secretly maybe kind of cool with that. But also, it would, unless there's some type of lip sync for the crown type flower petal Sasha Velour moment, I just cannot imagine someone other than Bimini or Lawrence winning. I mean, in what universe? And I don't, so UK season one did sort of a quote unquote traditional finale, right? Where it's just the final performance and then the final look, no lip sync for the crown, nothing like that. Because we have a final four, I wonder if they're going to stick with that. I would assume so, just based on the way that the UK goes and then their filming schedule and stuff. So I don't think we're going to have a lip sync for the crown, but
I wonder
you never
if
know.
They're going to do the Skype thing again, or if it's going to be, I guess they would have no reason to like be on.
Well, because they're all together already, right? So yeah, because they went home for COVID, whereas they. Yeah, it's because if they don't do the big lip sync for the finale, the lip sync for the crown, which I don't think is going to happen, they'll just do another episode, the finale episode. So but that will be episode 10 coming up next week. We will find out the winner of Drag Race UK. I'm very excited. I think I have a personal investment in Bimini, especially because Lawrence will not let this freaking scheduling
dog with a bone right now
of the comedy challenge. Yeah, yes, exactly. That's exactly what it's like. Leave Ellie Diamond alone. Like, shut up. It seems so freaking pretentious.
When you're in the, like, when you're clearly in the lead and you're probably, there's a good chance that you're going to win. It's like, why are you being, it's weird.
Yeah. And if you are so confident in your comedy, why are you suppressed about this? This was a whole episode from last week. And then part of the narrative here this week as well, just continuing to be perpetuated. So I'm hoping Lawrence drops that because it's not a cute look.
Mm-mm, not at all.
Okay, that does it for us today. Aman, is there anything else drag related that you'd like to talk about?
No, I think that's it for me. I'm just I'm excited to see what happens next week.
Very much so for both Drag Race. I mean, mostly Drag Race UK because I want to know who wins, but of course Drag Race US as well. The one other thing that popped into my brain is Drag Race Down Under is going to be a thing that is happening. So there's like a 1 minute preview on the WoW Presents Plus streaming site that I have watched. So I've seen the reveal of all the queens, but as far as I know, a premiere date has not been announced. So we've gotten some questions about coverage for Drag Race Down Under. We will keep you posted. As we know more, we'll let you know more. If we're still doing US because of All Stars, maybe we'll do a thing like we're doing with UK. I don't know. All up in the air. So just hold on, sit tight, and we will figure that out when we find out more details. Okay. Aman, where can people find you on social media and what do you have going on?
You can follow me on Twitter at Aman Adwin, where I am covering Big Brother Canada along with the rest of RHAP. I also have my Glee podcast still going with Matt Ligori. So we've got a few episodes that we just dropped this past weekend, more character analysis. You can find all that stuff at Quiet Room Pod. You can also follow me on Twitch, where I do lots of Harry Potter stuff and games, and we're going to play some Among Us later on today. So you guys will, you know, have already seen it by this point, but
Hey, go back, watch the VODs. Okay. And you can find me on Twitter at Liana RHAP. I am also podcasting about, well, I'll be popping in here and there for some Big Brother Canada coverage, but The Masked Singer season 5 is back in the building. Puya and I covered the very first episode. It was absolutely wild. Such a just fun, stupid experience. So if you're looking for something to...
I started watching that show. I need to start watching.
Oh my gosh.
It looks so fun.
It's so fun. It's so stupid. It's perfect show. Even if you're doing something else, you can kind of have it on in the background and take in the ridiculous moments. You don't need to be paying 100% attention unless you really care about figuring out who's who and like doing your own little sleuthing. Then, of course, you can do that. I love the different levels to the show. So highly recommend it. Both to Aman here and to you listeners at home. So you can check that podcast out. And especially if you want a little flavor taste of what it's like, just listen to the podcast. You don't have to watch the show. And that would be a great place. So that's robhasawebsite.com/masssinger. Not the Mass Singer, just plain old Mass Singer. And I'm also on Twitch, twitch.tv/Leonis. That's me. If you are interested in supporting all of the fabulous things that we do here on Rob Has a Podcast, consider becoming a patron of RHAP. You can check out patreon.com/RHAP or robhasawebsite.com/Patreon. Leave us your star ratings and reviews on iTunes. robhasawebsite.com/Drag Race. That's robhasawebsite.com/Drag Race. Thanks, Scott St. Pierre, behind the scenes, and we'll talk to y'all soon. Bye!